Good morning. Let me read today's scripture, and let's stand for the word. And it's in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 17. It says, since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace that it brought him. Then he received the highest position in heaven, the one next to the throne of God. Think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners, so that you don't become tired and give up. You struggle against sin, but your struggles haven't killed you. You haven't forgotten the encouraging word that God speaks to you as his children. My child, pay attention when the Lord disciplines you. Don't give up when he corrects you. The Lord disciplines everyone he loves. He severely disciplines everyone he accepts as his child. Endure your discipline. God corrects you as a father corrects his children. All children are disciplined by their fathers. If you aren't disciplined like the other children, you aren't part of the family. On earth, we have fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them. Shouldn't we place ourselves under the authority of God, the Father of all spirits, so that we will live? For a short time, our fathers disciplined us as they thought best. Yet God disciplines us for our own good, so that we can become holy like him. We don't enjoy being disciplined. It always seems to cause more pain than joy. But later on, those who learn from that discipline have peace that comes from doing what is right. Strengthen your tired arms and weak knees. Keep walking along straight paths so that your injured leg won't get worse. Instead, let it heal. Try to live peacefully with everyone and try to live holy lives, because if you don't, you won't see the Lord. Make sure that everyone has kindness from God so that bitterness doesn't take root and grow up to cause trouble that corrupts many of you. Make sure that no one commits sexual sin or is as concerned about earthly things as Esau was. He sold his right as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterwards, when he wanted to receive the blessing that firstborn son was to receive, he was rejected. Even though he begged and cried for the blessing, he couldn't do anything to change what happened.
Turn with me once again in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and the beauty of discipline, or subtitle, Divine Love on Display. Divine Love on Display. Can you find beauty in spanking a child? I know how you kids are going like, nope, right? Let's widen our scope, because I want, again, that this sermon is not just for those who are currently parenting children. It's for all of us. So let me ask you, can you find beauty when you endure suffering? Can you find beauty when you endure suffering? Have you ever realized that there's a connection between the discipline or spanking of a child, for example, and your suffering as a Christian? As you are being raised by your parents and as they discipline you, you probably haven't thought, wow, this is preparing me for a life of suffering when I come to know Christ. But there is that connection, and we'll be talking about that today. Rightly understanding discipline helps you suffer well. And those of us who are, have been done with our parents disciplining us, we can look back on that. And hopefully, even if they, did a lot of things wrong, we can still look back and see some things to help us to suffer well. And then as we especially look at what it should be, and apply that to our own suffering. So this is not just for those of you who are right in the throes of training children. So while today's lesson is going to focus on chastening our children, the lesson here is a crucial one for all of us. And I just love how the Holy Spirit planned the songs. I'll refer to one of them in a minute, but just the last one. Of course, I always love that last one that we just sang, but there's so much in it. But we need this lesson. I hope that we will now, as we look more particularly on correcting, disciplining children, that we will see that it is essential, disciplining children is essential to godly parenting. I know there are parenting theories out there that say you should never discipline your child, you should never spank your child, those kinds of things. We've talked about that. But it is essential to godly parenting. But it also prepares us for understanding why God disciplines his children. You see, you would lose that connection if you say that it is immoral to spank a child, as so many do say today, and most of the world will say that, or at least the Western world. And when Christians buy into that, they don't realize that they've lost a vital connection. That this is a gracious thing in many ways, but one of the ways is preparing your children to understand when God disciplines them. If they come to Christ and he disciplines them, they need to understand that better. And that's what this is designed to do in part. So we want to look for God's beauty in both the disciplining of a child and also our suffering as God disciplines us. Distinctly Christian parenting has a unique perspective on parenting. And this is where we're going today. Discipline trains a child to willingly submit to God's loving authority. Discipline trains a child to willingly submit to God's loving authority and to embrace Jesus' good news. So I know when we think about correcting our children, and children as you're being corrected and disciplined, we tend to not think about these things. We don't think about these bigger purposes that we really should be thinking about, not necessarily every time, but to come to a place where we willingly submit to God's authority and realize that it is loving, but also it is, again, well, we'll talk about this, but it helps to prepare the children. God uses it to prepare them for receiving the good news. Correction, as I've said before, is a gospel training tool. Correction, discipline, chastisement, that's a gospel training tool. We don't realize that sometimes. We tend to think in terms of, you know, I just want them to behave. I just, you know, want them to not completely embarrass me in public. I want to have, you know, some peace and quiet. We stop at those things, those and as far as goals, and fail to realize that we are, even more importantly, preparing them to hopefully receive the gospel one day. Correction teaches the child from early on to respect authority so that one day they will willingly submit to God's authority, and they will one day hopefully obey Jesus' gospel call. You see, the gospel is a matter of obedience in the sense of you obey that call. You have to obey that call. When Jesus calls you, repent and believe, that's a matter of obedience. You have to obey in doing that. And so if Christian parents, you know, just get rid of this whole obedience thing in their child's life, then they're not going to understand what does it mean then to obey the gospel. And of course, a lot of times those folks have a watered down gospel anyway. But we've already seen some of the beauty in the chastisement process. So early on, it begins at a very rudimentary level with the child. But then over time, as they mature, that level of their learning deepens. You see, And correction is a key tool in that, because correction, and we should bring this out as children, or to our children, as parents, it teaches that God is righteous. So why, you know, mommy, why am I receiving a spanking? Well, it should not be, well, you made me mad, or you embarrassed me, or whatever. It should be because God is righteous. And number two, because God requires that we be righteous. And number three, none of us are righteous. We're all sinners. You just proved that when you sinned. And you, like all of us, need a Savior. That's what discipline should be communicating. And you should be communicating to your children in discipline. Another part of seeing the gospel in something like correction, spanking, chastisement, is what we've said before, and we looked last week at Isaiah 53 and several verses, but verse 5, where Jesus was, you remember? He was chastened for us because of our sins, our transgressions. If your child has never been chastened, how are they going to understand why Jesus needed to be chastened and what that meant? Like, oh yeah, that probably wasn't that big a deal for him. No, because if you've been chastened properly, then you know that it is not pleasant. And sometimes, you know, you see a connection between the chastening and sin. Jesus didn't sin, but he's chastened for our sins. And if they've never been chastened, they aren't likely to understand that. And so here this morning, by exploring the beauty in disciplining, I'm trying to show that we must not stop at just raising well-behaved children. That is something we hope for and we shoot for, but that should not be our ultimate goal. You see, what God is doing in your children is to take those... Your children are worshipers. You're not creating worshipers. They're already worshiping. And guess who it is that they worship? Themselves. And so God is taking a child who worships themselves, and he is working through your disciplining them to transform them into a worshiper of him, worshiping him with their whole heart. You see, so I'm trying to show you, not only are we going to see the beauty, but do you see the import of this? Why it is so important for us to discipline our children and be faithful in that. And one of the purposes, and this is tied to worship, one of the purposes for disciplining us, for God disciplining us, is to reveal his love for us. And for parents to discipline their children is to show them God's love for us. And that is the beauty that we are seeking to behold here today. As we think about something that, for our children, definitely is very unpleasant, for parents, it generally is unpleasant. It should be. But it reveals God's love. And parents, you should think in those terms, that I want my spanking of my child to reflect God's love for this child, and that one day he or she will come to see that. So God the Father and Jesus our Savior should be the ultimate reason for disciplining, for correction, for spanking, and whatever other form of correction you employ. See, we get to behold the beauty of discipline when we consider that it actually flows from the heart of God. That's what we saw and we're going to talk about in Hebrews 12. This isn't something that God said, you know, okay, I created mankind so that you'll have children and they'll start out as little babies and they'll be very self-centered and they'll grow up self-centered, and you've got to work at trying to this is kind of an oops, and I'm just trying to help you, you know, get by, you know, with these, you know, selfish little creatures who worship themselves. And so I'm just kind of giving you this thing with, you know, chastisement as the best we can do. Not at all. Chastening, correction, it flows from God's heart. When he says, parents, I want you to discipline your children, that flows from his heart. He will do that which is hard to accomplish that which is good. He will do that which is hard to accomplish that which is good. And he wants you parents to have that same commitment. Now, sadly for many, too many Christians, conservative Christians, parental authority is oppressive. And sadly, a lot of Christians think that's okay. Oppressive parents break their child's will so that the child becomes compliant. Okay, and they think that's a success. It's not success, it's sin. And it does great damage to the child. That isn't what God's Word teaches. And I hope that you see here today the whole fact that authority and discipline, correction, it comes from God's heart, not from the harshness that some parents seem to think it is. Their authority is hideous. Authority should be beautiful. Let me give you an example of, and you can probably think of plenty of examples in your own life where authority was experienced as beautiful. Okay, so when Connie and I years ago were walking on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, we were walking around and looking at everything on the top of the Temple Mount there with another pastor and his wife. And after a while, this other pastor and his wife, they just naturally joined hands. They're married. Okay, they love each other. Okay, well, some of the Palestinians that were up there, that offended their moral code. And two of them accosted us. They were, you know, shouting and everything, and they were trying to exert their authority. They were like self-appointed security people or something. And they were trying to usher us out of the gate that would go into the Palestinian sector of the city. Bad news. Okay, that would not have been a good thing. Okay, we were told you go through the chain gate, don't go through any other gate, no matter what. Okay, and so we refused. We were like, you can shoot us right here, but we're not going out that gate. And so, but seeing what happened, this Israeli policeman, by God's grace, came to our aid. And if you know how things work over there, even if the Palestinians have some authority over this, the Israelis, fortunately, have authority over them. And so he had authority over them. And he spoke very firmly to them, and he ran them off. And then he showed us to the gate we were supposed to go out. And so, and we out into the Jewish quarter where we were safe. And to, in that moment, authority was beautiful to us. As we thought, okay, either international incident or nobody would ever hear from us again, you know, if they, those guys had their way. But authority was beautiful, and that's how authority should be. Your authority in parenting should be beautiful. Now, it won't always be pleasant for your child. I'm not saying that they're like, yay, mom and dad have authority. But it should still be beautiful, and that they come to understand it and see it as beautiful. Correction should also be beautiful. Correction trains a child to submit to authority. You see, that's, if you have ever had a little baby, you know that they don't come out of the womb respecting authority, submitting to authority, happy about authority, right? They're like, I'm the authority. OK, Okay, this world revolves around me, and it's about me. Okay, and I demand that you, mom and dad, and everybody else, you know, follow my authority. So they don't come out saying, oh, I'm glad to have a mom and dad, and they have authority over me, and that didn't work that way. So correction, discipline, spanking, that trains a child to submit to authority. And then as they learn to submit to authority, it places them in the path of developing this skillful way of living in God's world and able then to receive God's blessing. And we're going to see that in some of the passages we look at today. We're going to consider correction first before looking at the broader concept of parenting, of the training process. We're going to go into that later. So we're going to look at correction first this week, and then in a couple weeks, I still have some more to share with you on correction and discipline. But see, I want to deal with it first because that's kind of the order it needs to go in. When you're a parent and you have that little baby, you know, I mean, you can tell them theology all day long. They're not getting it yet, right? But as they get a little bit older and you know, and they're starting to, you know, no. You know, they love that word. It becomes their favorite, right? You tell them to do something. They're, no, okay, well, there is something they can understand. And that's discipline, correction. They have to learn that first. They have to learn that you do have authority given from God. You have authority over them. Then when they've learned that, as they mature, then they will be able to receive instruction. So we're going to take it in that order. We're going to talk about correction first, and then later we'll talk about some of these more broad principles of child training. I'm going to be using the terms chastisement, correction, discipline interchangeably in this lesson. And by that, I mean something different from punishment, the word punishment. And I know that there's overlap, and you'll find, even in Christian literature, you'll find, like, you know, corporal punishment, spanking, right? And I don't like that term punishment because I like to draw the distinction between this concept of correction and that which is punishment. By punishment, I mean that which is not corrective. It is basically you're receiving your just reward, if you will. Okay, so think about in the Old Testament, the probably older teen child who is stubbornly rebellious and unrepentant. And do you remember that? There comes a point where his exasperated parents take him to the elders of the city, say, we need to put him to death. And if they agree and find, yes, he is guilty, then they stoned him, put him to death. That is punishment. That's how I'm using the word punishment. Or think eternally. Okay, if you die without Christ, it's over. Eternal punishment. And there's no correction at that point. There's no second chance or anything like that. And that's how I'm going to be using these terms. And that's how punishment, it's not corrective. And that's not so, for example, like, you know, your child, you're out in public and they disobey and they throw a tantrum and they just really embarrass you, you know. And you think, oh, I'm going to get them when we get home. Right? That's punishment, and that's not at all okay. Right? Chastisement, discipline, correction that I'm going to use today is corrective. It's remedial. It's designed to help the child to grow, to learn, to develop. So, what I want to do is walk through six exhortations that focus on God's beauty in authority and discipline. Six exhortations that focus on God's beauty in authority and discipline. First, make the Lord your example in chastising. Make the Lord your example in chastising. If you kind of go back in your minds to Ephesians 5 at the very beginning, verses 1 and 2, we are called there to walk in love. And who are we imitating in that? Do you remember? There are two persons mentioned. as God the Father and Jesus. We're told to imitate them by walking in love. That's what we're seeking to do as parents in chastising. In Revelation 3:19, Jesus told the Laodicean church, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline." You see, he's tying love to this corrective process for one of his churches. So the Lord is to be our example. And I want to look into that example a little more. What is it that we are imitating? Remember Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. We're imitating his love. So look with me here in Hebrews 12. And I want to read verses 7 through 11 once again. Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 11. "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he, our Father, in heaven, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." So parents, I want to encourage you to make this one of the passages that you spend time teaching your children. Meditate on it together. Think through it, step through it. And of course, all of us, we should all do it when we think about our own suffering and how God is disciplining us. We should meditate through this passage and think about it. And think about all the positive results that God seeks when he disciplines us. And then parents, talk with your children about the positive results you seek. That it isn't just retribution, I'm getting you back for what you did. It's, no, I'm trying to train you in God's ways. And here are some of the positive results, the blessings that I want to be yours. You are to do what is hard to bring about what is good. So, parents, teach Hebrews 12 to your children. And parents, meditate on it for yourself so that you have the right mindset as you parent, as you discipline. Second, keep love as your motive in chastening. Keep love as your motive in chastening. So you might have noticed that I skipped verses 5 and 6 from Hebrews 12 because we're getting ready to go to it in Proverbs 3. The writer there quotes from Proverbs 3. So you can turn with me back there to Proverbs, back in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to read the first 12 verses. He's actually quoting verse 12, but I want to read from verse 1. I want to show you something, a few things. Proverbs 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Why? "So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor Yahweh from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of Yahweh or loathe his reproof." Why? "For whom Yahweh loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights." Parents, your disciplining of your children should not be from your wrath. It should be from your love. Again, it's not punishment, it is correction. It's not retaliation, it is remedial. Live that way. Live that out, parents. Communicate that to your children. Teach this passage. So in addition to Hebrews 12, now come to Proverbs 3. Teach the passage to your children. Walk through it with them. Meditate on it together. Find all the rich, positive results that are supposed to come from discipline. Whether it be God disciplining you directly, individually, as a believer, Jesus Christ, or as you as a parent disciplining your children, what are the rich, positive results that should come? Look for those. And then, parents, ask yourself, is it obvious to my child that I love them? Now, I know, I was there, you know, and when you're receiving discipline, you do not think, well, I know they love me, and I'm taking comfort in that. We don't want to go there, right? Even though we know it's true. But make sure your child knows that that's true. Communicate to them that this is your love. And is it obvious that you delight in your child, as Solomon says there? Or do they get the impression that you're just so fed up with them, they're such a burden to you, and you're punishing them for ruining your life or whatever? Is that the impression you're giving them? Or do you give them the impression that I'm disciplining you because I delight in you, I love you, I want the best for you, I want you to have God's blessings, and I so very much want that I'm going to do something that, yes, is painful to me as a parent. Disciplining your child should be painful to you. But you delight in them, and you will do that which is painful to you in order to teach them God's ways. Now, something else I want to point out to you. Have you noticed the balance between the odd verses and the even verses in the first 12 verses of Proverbs 3? The odd verses tell the child about the hard work of discipline, of learning, growing, being godly. And the even verses are the resulting blessings. And so if you go through there, just look at the odd-numbered ones and then the even-numbered ones. And so parents, as you are walking your children through this, say, okay, let's talk about verse 1. What is it saying? What are you being exhorted to do, or I'm exhorted to help you with? And then what should that result in? What's the blessing? Again, a rich source of blessings that should result from your correcting process with your child. And point that out to them. You know, as they are old enough to understand, then walk them through this. These are the things I want for you, because remember, I'm chastising you so that you will be prepared to obey the Lord. You need to first submit to my authority and obey me as your parent so that you will learn to submit to God's authority and obey Him as your father. You see? And here are the things He wants for you. Here are the things I want for you. And so you have rich material to teach your children with. And then if you look at verses 13 through 20, we're not going to read those, but then it's just like this long catalog of, it's all, you know, basically it should be all even numbered verses, right? Because they're all the resulting blessings. And you have a beautiful catalog there. Third, use chastisement to point children to God the Father's love. Use chastisement to point them to the Father's love. We've seen that in Hebrews 12 and Proverbs 3. It's His fatherly love that is the reason why He chastises us. Should be the same reason we chastise our children. See, this is part of the beauty that we're looking for here as we work through this material. The beauty we're looking for is it's the Father's love. It's not, you know, Him being mean and frustrated with us or whatever. It's His love. And that's how it should be for us too. But we're seeing the beauty of discipline because it centers in love. It arises from love. And as you teach your children, as you teach yourselves, moms and dads, you know, get together and think these things through, talk them through, so that you both understand them and you can sharpen one another. And teach the depth of His love in two ways. First, teach them that, even though it won't seem like it, they are experiencing God's love when you as a parent lovingly discipline them. Okay, and I'm drawing a distinction between that abusive, you know, harsh kind of correction. Not that. But when you lovingly correct them, teach them that this is happening because God loves you. Okay, and I'm going to develop this some more in a minute, so hang in there. Second, as they get a little older and they can understand this, teach them what it means for Jesus to be chastened for us in His suffering and death. See, make those gospel connections, right? Teach them these things so that they see the depth of God's love in this. Chastisement is very much a gospel duty. And as we sing, "How deep the Father's love," you know, again, I was rejoicing, you know, that the Holy Spirit had that be selected, even though they didn't know, the guys, you know, didn't know what exactly I was going to be saying today. But the Spirit knew, because He planned it. And, you know, I was just marveling at that, how deep the Father's love for us. And you had in there, you know, Him putting His Son to death. You know, with those beautiful lyrics and how we sang that. And that's the kind of thing. I mean, parents, when you're teaching your children about discipline and why you're disciplining, pull that up on your phone or whatever and go through it with them. And say, can you see how deep the Father's love is? Even in your, especially in the spankings that you receive, when you receive those, can you see His love? Okay, now turn over to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. You want to just look at verse 24. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. So, our fourth point, chastise because the stakes are high. Chastise because the stakes are high. Commentator Bruce Waltke explains what Solomon meant by loves here. He says, and we can go ahead to the next slide with the quote, "Loving parents seek to correct the faults of their children because, as the preceding unit showed," that is the first part of chapter 13, "their children's lives, favor, protection, healing, dignity, and prosperity are at stake." And then he shows what hate means. Go to the next slide. "Unloving parents turn their backs on them," on their children, "and hand them over to death, social ruin, public exposure, calamity, and shameful poverty." Do you see the contrast there? The stakes are high. That's why we have to take this seriously. That's why we have to be faithful in disciplining our children. The stakes are incredibly high. And literally, Solomon says here in the second part of that verse, it says the person who loves, the parent who loves, seeks his child diligently. Seeks diligently is the actual verb. Okay, he seeks diligently to discipline. And what that means is that the parent puts in this extreme effort. They're on a quest to properly train their child. It's not just happenstance. It's not just like, okay, we're just going to go through life. We're going to play this, you know, do this, play this by ear and just kind of wing it and, you know, and everything's okay. The child's being nice and then the child disobeys and then, you know, you lose it. It isn't that. You're on this quest. I know it's a lot of work. But it, you know, word willing, it only lasts for 18-ish years, right? So, you know, you got to hang in there. Of course, I know if you have multiple children, it just extends that. But, you know, you've got this. There's going to be a period where you get to rest, okay? And then God will give you other work to do. But this is a quest that you are on. This is your job. This is what you seek to do. As a parent, this is your business to be thinking about this, talking together about it, as, you know, mom and dad talking. How do we do this? And watching for those opportunities, you know, and, you know, we say, pick your battles. You know, you look for where's the right time to address. I noticed that little Johnny is doing, you know, has this propensity now. And let's find an opportunity, watch for an opportunity when that happens again, and so we can address it and we've got the time. You know, we're not, you know, right in the middle of church, you know. Or we're not, you know, in the store. When we're at home, we want to address. So you're always watching, you're thinking, you're planning. You put the time in to do all of this work. Not a quote, but Ted Tripp in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, and I'll have some more in a couple weeks to share from that, but he said that when your child disobeys, they move to the place of danger. Do you realize that? Your children don't. Do you, parent? Do you realize that when they disobey, they've moved to a place of danger, sin, rebellion against God, God's wrath? That's a dangerous place to be in. You know, sometimes your children just say, well, you know, that's just the way you want it to happen. And you know, you don't like the way I do things. No, we need to be focused on the things that God has said that they must not do or that they are supposed to do. And when they move away from that, they move to a place of danger. Because we, parents, you know, I know, we'll talk about this in a minute, but how many times have maybe you heard this or thought this? I just love my child too much to spank them. You don't really love them enough if you don't. Because you don't realize what kind of danger they're in. You know, do you realize that your children, when they come from the womb, they're on the broad path to destruction? Do you realize that? And when they disobey you, they're stepping out of what God's plan for them to follow their parents' leading and authority so that they are safe, kept safe, not only from the world and all the horrible things that can happen, they're also safe from the wrath of God. Think about, again, in the Old Testament, that child that the older child is just rebelling and wild living, and they're just stubborn. They're not giving in. Now it's time for God's wrath. They're separated from this life by stoning. And more than likely, given the character of that child, they will suffer eternal wrath. The parent, when you discipline your child, you return them to the circle of blessing. Remember the passage that it may go well with you, that you may have long life. You see, they return to the place of blessing, the place that God has ordained for them, even before they're believers, where they're walking in this path that the parents have said, okay, this is God's path, and this is where you're going, and here are the boundaries, and you stay within that. And that's the path of blessing. It also restores the relationship between you and your child. So when your child sins against you, they've damaged the relationship. And so after you, and especially in those early stages, it restores the relationship between you and them. Now, as they get older, you're going to start working with them on, okay, so now let's talk about you confessing your sin and asking forgiveness, and you develop that, okay? Number five. Remember that neglecting to chastise exposes your hatred for your child. Neglecting to chastise exposes your hatred for your child. I know, like I said a while ago, some people say, I just love my child too much to spank them. No, you love yourself more. That's why you don't spank them. Look again at the first part of Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod, that's, you know, the corporal punishment, as they call it, the spanking, correction. He who spares his rod hates his son. Why hate? Well, on the one hand, think about how discipline trains your child in theology, to understand about God, about themselves, about their need for a Savior, about the work of the Savior on their behalf, to die for them. You spare the rod, you hate your son or daughter. You rob them of these important truths that can be used by God to lead them to Christ. And that shows your lack of love. You see, you say, well, yeah, but, you know, when they hit a certain point, I think they're old enough to understand, I can just tell them the gospel for the first time then. Why would you do that? For one, they need to learn these things by experience. They need to learn what chastisement means. They need to learn what is right, what is wrong, what is a sin. They need to experience those things so that they can really appreciate and know when you're talking about the gospel that, okay, I get this. Parents who neglect discipline, they stand by and allow the child to commit sins that Paul said in Romans 1 and in 2 Timothy 3 when he said disobedient to parents, that's a thing, right? In Paul's mind, it's one of those sins that, guess what? Deserves eternal punishment. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. If your child persists in being disobedient to parents, that's who they are, they're not going to heaven. That's what Paul says. And so parents who just stand by and let their child become that, and they're not trying to steer their child on a different course through correction, they hate their child. Since the stakes are high, complacency about discipline, neglecting discipline, that's hate. Like I said, your child is running headlong down the path, the wide path that leads to what? Destruction. That's where your child is going. Do you realize that? That your child is running openly and willingly toward hell. Does that not move you? Does that not make you say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be used by God to keep them from heading down that path and staying on that path? And chastisement is one of the things that God has given. It's one of the tools He's given. To not discipline your child is not love. Finally, chastise to prepare their heart for the gospel. Chastise to prepare their heart for the gospel. We've been touching on this all along, but corrective discipline reinforces to your child that God will punish all sin. Our hope is that they learn from our discipline, that they fly to Christ, that they accept Jesus' work where He took our punishment on Himself on the cross. That's what we hope. Hebrews 12:11, we read earlier, said that correction leads to the peaceful fruit of righteousness. One aspect of that is initially when your child comes to Christ, they receive the righteousness of Christ, and that puts them at peace with God, and they have rest in His righteousness, rest in Jesus' righteousness. That's a result of chastisement. God will chastise your child, and you should be a part of God's work in chastising them so that they may come to Christ. Parents, there's a sense in which every spanking, each and every spanking is prophetic. Think about that. There's a sense in which each spanking is prophetic. For your unsaved child, it's prophetic, and this ought to break your heart, of God's judgment. Because if they never turn from their sin, your spanking is pointing them to God's judgment. It's prophetic. See how important that is. If your child, when they come to Christ, sometimes they may still need spankings. I know I did after I came to Christ. It does two things. One, it looks back historically to the deep, deep love of our Savior and the deep love of our Father that we sang about. It points back historically to that. And help your saved child, if they need to be corrected, whether it's a spanking or some other form of correction, point that out to them. That you're receiving this spanking, but you will not receive hell because of what Jesus did, because of what His Father did. But it also looks forward prophetically to a day when they will have learned to willingly obey and follow God. When they are sanctified to the point where they're able to be out on their own and to live life well before God, to live life in a way that pleases God as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may still be troubled by this idea of seeking beauty in chastisement. Seeking beauty, for example, in a spanking. I point you back, as we come to the Lord's table, back to Isaiah 53:5. Jesus was chastened for us, for our peace. Remember the peaceful fruit of righteousness. He was chastened for that because of our transgressions. And I'll leave you with this thought to meditate on during the table. We have on the cross the highest height of beauty because it revealed the deepest depth of love. We see the highest height of beauty, and I know that's not grammatically correct, but I want you to remember it. We see on the cross the highest height of beauty because it revealed the deepest depth of love.